You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
As I follow Christ, that's what Paul said, and we do need leadership, and we do need pastors and, you know, elders, and we do need the apostle, evangelist, the pastor, the teacher, the prophet, and all that. But see, all that, me included, points to Him, Jesus. I'm just a gift. Yeah, oh yeah, that's what the Bible says. It says when He ascended up on high, He gave gifts to men. And He gave some. Apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, that you and I would grow up in Him. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So here I am, a gift from God. Happy birthday. Yes. Everybody ready to receive the gift?
Yes.
Okay. Turn with me to Psalms 103. Hallelujah. I love this psalm. Now, my intention this morning is to preach this psalm, okay? I don't know that we'll get through the whole thing or not. We may. It depends on how fast I go and how, you know, if I speed it up and don't spend a lot of time commenting. It has a lot to do with how much y'all get into the message, you know? You could drag it out if you want to, or you could get on here with me and amen, and we'll move on to the next verse. You know how that goes.
Amen.
Well, it's a cheap way to get them, but I'll take them anyway I can get them. Now, this is a psalm of David, and he is blessing God. He is praising the Lord. He's thinking on God's goodness. You know, that's one thing you do need to focus in on, especially this world that we live in. Well, all the news we hear, not all good, some bad, some good, some indifferent. You know, Paul even said to Timothy, he said, you know, perilous times are coming. We live in perilous times, and we do. We're living in the last days. Jesus is coming. How many of you know that?
Yes.
And before He comes, there's going to be a great wickedness on the earth. But I believe the church is going to rise up in great power also. It's kind of like the gray area is leaving. It's being consumed up. You're either all for God or you're all for the devil, and there's not a lot in between.
Right.
Used to be you could kind of ride the fence, but now the world's getting so plain and so blatant and so in your face with their sins, and we've gone to where we'd never mention some things that are going on the earth today, and to where we can't shut up about it. I mean, it's all we do is talk about it. The sin and the ungodliness, and people are proud of it, and they're in your face with it, and you can't even disagree with them because you're intolerant if you disagree, you know. But I think they're being intolerant of my intolerance.
Yeah.
They'll tolerate me being tolerant, but they won't tolerate me being intolerant. I don't know. I mean, just who's intolerant? I don't get it. There is something right and there's something wrong, and that's all there is to it. I don't have to agree with wrong to tolerate it. I understand there's things going on in the world that I have no control over, but it doesn't mean I don't have to agree with it.
Right. Amen.
Right. Thank you for your enthusiasm. But if you don't have a strong foundation or base for truth or a core or a measuring line or something that you measure everything off of, well, that's what's wrong with the world is they have no standards. They change their standards like they change their clothes. I mean, it's kind of like that guy that, you know, put an apple up on a table and he began to paint this apple. And he got through with it and it didn't look at all like the apple. It looked more like an orange. And so instead of throwing the paint away and starting over, he took the apple and threw it away and put an orange up there. That's kind of like us. We try to, you know, copy Jesus and live like Jesus. And we don't do so good a job at it. Instead of repenting and going back to the drawing board, we change our Jesus. Oh, quit preaching, got to meddling now, didn't we? Okay. So we need some hope. We need an anchor. We need a solid, solid absolute. And, of course, that is God's Word. And here's David. You know, David is messed up as he was sometimes, and he did sin. And the Bible doesn't whitewash it. It tells his sin and how he missed God. But one thing he did, he wanted God in his life, and he was a man after God's heart. After meaning he was wanted, he was after it. He's running after God's heart. And you see that in the Psalms. I just love the Psalms. I have 150 favorite Psalms. And as I always say, Psalms is one of my favorite books. I have 66 favorite books. This is one of them. You know, I just wear these for appearance. Now that things have appeared. Psalms 103, verse 1. David talking, he said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name." You need to spend some time praising God. You need to spend some time blessing Him, thanking Him for the good that He's doing in your life. There may be a lot of messed up things going on, but there is still life, and there is still hope, and you're still here, and this is still another day that you can praise the Lord. Amen? This is still another day I can bless him. And no matter how bad it looks, I love what Cheryl shared there about their testimony. No matter how bad it looks, God can get you out of that mess. Hallelujah. Things look the bleakest. Things look the darkest. Praise God. It's going to take a miracle to get out of this, and the testimony of this is going to be awesome. Hallelujah. Yes. You say, well, I got this going on, that going on. Well, hey, things are looking right for a miracle, aren't they?
Amen.
The greater the test, the greater the testimony. The greater the battle, the greater the victory. Great testimonies come out of great tests. Don't let the devil win this deal. Don't let him walk away a winner. No, you give him a black eye.
Yeah.
And he's a loser. You're a winner.
That's right.
Praise God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. We hear a lot about benefits. We hear a lot about the government benefits. We hear a lot about bailouts, stimulus packages, welfare, all these things. You know, we hear a lot about what the government can do and so on and so forth. And I'm not opposed to the government. Stay with me. We need government. We must have law. We must have, in a society, we must have government. I think the government's involved in a lot of things they shouldn't be involved in. And I think it's gotten way too big. I think less governments is better government. I understand that. But there are people truly who have needs that need to be helped. I think the system's gone crazy, and we're helping people that don't need help. But I'm not against helping people that need help. We just need a better system of defining who that is. Are you with me? But having said that, have we forgotten God's benefits? Have we forgotten that God can help us? Have we forgotten that we can call on Him? Who is our God? Is our God our government? Or is our God the one who made the heavens and the earth? Does it not pay to serve God? Does it not pay to trust God? Does it not pay to give my life over to Him and my family over to Him and my service over to Him? Does it not pay? Does that not pay? Of course it does.
Yes.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within you. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Man, I hear people say, oh, I had better when I wasn't serving God. Oh, really? You were going to hell, remember? I just got to assimilate that. I got to think about that a minute. You were better off before you started serving God? I'm sorry. That just does not compute. I was going to hell before I met Jesus. I'm going to heaven now.
Right.
You know, I mean, we had some hot summers here in Texas, but I'll tell you what, where I'm going is not hot at all. And it may be hot in Texas, but that's as hot as it's ever going to get for me.
Amen.
Renee Garner said one time, she said it was real hot. She was down in Corpus, and it was just burning up. And she's, man, she's just miserable. And she started thinking about how this is as hot as it's going to get for her. Mm-hmm. She said, I started to call up my friends. I was going to bake a cake and throw a party and tell them, this is my thank God I'm not going to hell today.
Yeah. Right.
Got something to be thankful for, amen?
Right.
We got some benefits, praise God.
Yes.
Some tremendous benefits. Then he begins to list the benefits, which really gets good. He doesn't just leave it abstractly out there or theoretically in theory or some concept, some idea. He gives some concrete realities here of what those benefits really are. Aren't you glad for the Bible?
Yes.
Aren't you glad you're not left at the mercy of the preacher? Wouldn't be so bad if your preacher's merciful and loves the Lord, but you need to follow up and see what he's preaching from. Amen?
Yes,
hey, don't take my word for something. Come on. You need to find out what the Bible says. You know, people come here often, and I know every church is a little different. We're unique. I mean, we have a calling. We have a personality, as it were, and a message and a vision and a mission. And sometimes it's a little more emphasis on one area than, say, another area and another church. And when you first come and it's a little different, you go, well, I don't know. I wonder what that is. But if you keep coming and you find out that it's the Bible, you finally get won over. But don't just grab it because I said it. Make sure it's the Bible. You have an obligation. You have a responsibility to check this out.
Yes.
Don't just take my... I'm a leader, yes, but I lead you to Christ. And I point you to His Word. And so it should get to the point to where you're quoting not me, but quoting the Scripture.
That's right.
And you're looking to Jesus and me as a leader.
Yes.
Good.
Not as your Lord. Are you kidding? I'm not your Lord. Even as a shepherd, I'm an under-shepherd. You're not my flock. You're His flock.
Yes.
I am a shepherd over his flock here at International Outreach Church. But you belong to Jesus. Amen? And I am a leader. Yes, no question. And you should submit to me as a leader as unto the Lord. But if I cross the line here, amen? I mean, if it's not scripture, not biblical, no. Don't. That's how cults get started. That's how people get all messed up. Well, how do you know what's right? Well, stay in the Word. Stay with the Word. Amen? Praise the Lord. So he says this, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, forget not all of his benefits." Why did he say that? I can tell you, God doesn't waste space. I know that. He doesn't just put words in here because he had to have a 200-page book or he had, you know, he's trying to make this book a certain length. No, there was a reason here. He said, forget not all of his benefits, because we most likely, without that reminder, we're going to forget his benefits. Yeah. And I can tell you today, in the church of God as a whole, they've forgotten a lot of his benefits. Yes. A lot of churches have forgotten totally that God is a healing God. And it's a benefit. That's something that God has provided. You say, how do you know that? That's what the next verse says. Some of them have even forgotten that God's a forgiver. Oh, they'll say he forgives, but there are certain things that people do and certain sins they commit that really that church wouldn't forgive them for. Hello. There's certain things you get involved in, certain lifestyles, backgrounds. Well, let's just take just a prominent, you know, we've got kids in here, so I'm just going to move on with that. I don't care what you've done or where you've been, there's forgiveness if you repent and come to Jesus. Even things that we believe very plainly are sins in this country. Sins, no matter what Hollywood says, no matter what politicians say. God bless politicians. Thank you, Betty, for all you do in our state. There are good ones and there are bad ones, just like everybody else. Okay, and she's a good one. But there are lifestyles that are considered okay that are based, they're totally unscriptural. Now, do we hate those people? No, we do not. We do not. When I make a stand against a sin, we're against that sin. If that person will repent of that sin, we will take them in. Now, obviously, you can't live in that sin and come to this church. That's not going to happen. But if you want to repent of that sin and come to this church, come on. If he wants to help you, work with you, and pray with you, come on. There's the balance, because God does forgive. He is a forgiver. We're not about excommunication. We're not about kicking people out. We're about taking people in. Now, we don't want to take in sin. We want to take in repentant sinners, people who are truly trying to overcome and repent. And we can't whitewash and we can't candy coat it. We can't stand up here and say it's okay and just say it's all right however you live. It's not all right however you live. No, that's right. There's a right way and there's a wrong way. But having said that, God is love and we bless him. Bless the Lord, oh my soul.
That's right. Amen.
And forgetting all of his benefits. Who forgives all your iniquities? Who heals all your diseases? Woohoo!
Amen.
How many sins? All of them. How many diseases? Yeah, but I tell you, some of these diseases they got because of the way they lived, and they're getting what they deserve. Oh, really? Well, thank God you didn't get what you deserved. Because we all deserve hell.
That's right.
Oh, better move on quick there, huh? How many diseases?
All.
You know, Psalms 107, verse 20 says, he sent his word and he healed them and delivered them from their destructions. Thank God this God that we serve, this Father, this Savior, this Lord, Jesus, he is a healer of our diseases.
Yes, he is.
He's a Savior from our, a deliverer from our sins, and he is a healer of our diseases. I love that. There's both those things in that same verse. We just received communion. With the bread representing the body, by stripes we're healed. The cup representing the blood, we're saved by that blood. That's the covenant, the blood.
Amen.
There's healing to disease and there's forgiveness of sins. And here in this one verse, the same breath, he says, who forgives all your sins or iniquities, who heals all your diseases.
That's right.
Woo!
Amen.
Gotta love it. Amen?
Yes.
They're both there. These are some of the benefits. Have you forgotten that? Have you forgotten that he is a healer? When your child gets sick, do you pray? Do you call others to pray? When you feel it coming on, when you feel the swine flu coming on, hear a lot about swine flu, you know. You know, that's just ridiculous when you think about it. They're talking about all these people have gotten swine flu and they're out for 2 or 3 days. It's not even as dangerous as a regular flu. And they finally quit overreacting and closing schools down like we did. And I did get a picture of it by email. If your nose starts flattening out and you're... Okay. Y'all still with me? Okay. Okay. Whatever, he heals our diseases. Amen. Praise God. I mean, if there may be diseases that weren't even known in the Bible, it doesn't matter, because he heals all of our diseases. Any new ones that come up, it doesn't matter. He heals all of our diseases. Amen. In fact, in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, where it lists all the diseases that comes on people because of their life and the curses that come upon people, it lists blindness and boils and every kind of disease you can imagine. Right at the end of Deuteronomy 28, it says, "And every disease that is not named in this book." I love that. And if that's part of the curse, praise God, I'm redeemed from the curse of the law.
That's right.
Galatians 3:13 says, "Christ hath past tense done, already went and did it, redeemed us from the curse of the law." For it's written, "Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles." That's me, that's you. That's Wills Point, Edgewood, Frog, and points in between. Elmo, Terrell, woohoo, Falba. Okay. "He has redeemed us from the curse of the law, for it's written, 'Cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles.' Through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith." Hallelujah. Somebody.
Yes. Hallelujah.
Praise God. We got some benefits here.
Yes, we do.
Have you checked out the policy? Do you even know what's in the package? Brother Osteen used to tell the story about a... In fact, he wrote a... Joel Osteen's dad, John Osteen, was our pastor for years. He wrote this book called Forget Not All of His Benefits. That was the name of it, wasn't it? Or The Benefits of God. It was The Benefits of God. It was a good book. It had the word benefits in the title. Benefits of the will. Benefits of the will. That was it. Yeah, The Benefits of the Will. And in there, he told the story, and he preached it several times. Of course, those books that, if you ever get a hold of those books, Brent and I heard him preach those sermons before he wrote those books. I mean, because they're sermons that he preached. And he'd tell the story about this guy that got on this cruise. He got on this, actually it was a ship. It wasn't a cruise. It was a ship going from Europe over to the United States. And he was going to be on there, you know, several days. You know, used to, that's the only way you could travel. I know when I was a kid, my dad was in the military. We lived in Germany. And we got on a ship, and I think it was 5 days. How many days?
5 days.
Nine? 9 days? 9 days. Well, see, I was so young, I couldn't remember. I actually turned 5 on the ship home. True story. My birthday was in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. You know, those cruises or ships took a long time to come across when they were going across the big pond there. And this guy had this ticket for this ship ride over to the United States, and he'd packed up a sack full of crackers and a big sack full of cheese so he'd have something to eat on the way back over, you know. And so day by day, he'd go out on the deck, you know, and he'd get his sack of crackers and he'd get his sack of cheese and he would eat cheese and crackers and cheese and crackers day in and day out. 8, 9 days, whatever. The last day of the cruise, he got out on the deck and he got his sack, and some guy comes by and says, I notice you're eating out here all the time. Do you not want to come in and eat with, you know, we've got all kinds of stuff out there in the dining room and the kitchen. He says, "Oh, no." He said, "I just had enough money to buy a ticket over here, and so I'm eating the cheese and crackers." And they said, "Well, man, what are you talking about? Your meals were included in the ticket." And so he found out the last day that he had some benefits he didn't know about. I think that's kind of the way we are. We're glad to be saved. I'm glad I'm on this ride. I'm on this gospel ship. Woohoo! Going to glory. On the good old gospel ship. But I'm still eating cheese and crackers. And the steak's been paid for. And the banana pudding, yes, amen. Gotta love banana pudding. I mean, it's all been paid for. I mean, there's going to be a Starbucks at the pearly gates when I get there. I believe that. Because no good thing will he withhold from them that love him. And I love him. And that's a good thing now. Starbucks is a good thing. Are you with me? But see, we're paying for a lot of things that he paid for. A lot of things that are benefits. Uh-huh. We're paying for sins that he already paid for.
Come on. Amen. Yes.
We're putting up with stuff he bought and paid for.
Yeah.
He's offering it to us, and out of our false humility, we reject it and say, "Oh no, Lord, I couldn't take that. There's so many other people that need it more than I do. I'm just happy to be saved."
Come on.
Well, you don't think he's got enough healing for everybody? What good is it going to do all those other people that need healing with you for you to remain sick?
Yeah.
What good is it going to do them? In fact, the truth be known, it'll do them more good if you'll get healed. You can go out and help them.
Right.
It'll do those starving people that without money more good if you'll let God bless you so you can go give to them.
Amen.
That's prosperity with a purpose. Oh, we just, you know, we preach Jesus, that's all, just Jesus. Well, I do too. I preach all of Jesus, though, not just part of him. Well, we just preach Jesus around here. Well, that's true, I do. I preach Jesus the healer, Jesus the Savior, Jesus the peace giver, Jesus the life giver, Jesus the miracle worker.
Yes, come on.
We preach Jesus. Jesus who paid for all my sins, Jesus who bore stripes on his body that I might be healed. Hallelujah.
That's right.
Woo. We don't want to forget all of his benefits. See, the truth be known, it's been paid for. Why let all that go in vain? Oh, he shed his blood for my sins, but he took all those stripes for nothing. Oh, I wouldn't dare ask God to heal me. Why? He wore stripes on his back that you might be healed. Do you think that your parents would get any pleasure out of you going up to them when they give you something? I mean, for instance, this would never happen, but I mean, when little Jonathan or Chris, you know, little Chris, when they were little, they're not little anymore. When they were little, I bought them a bicycle and handed it to them as a happy birthday, and for them to go, oh, no, I could never do that. I'm just happy to be your son. Really, give it to somebody else. I might have worked overtime to get that bike. You know what I'm saying? Picked it out. Spent all that time choosing that thing, getting it, knowing what he liked. You know, kind of figuring out what he wanted and getting it for him, whatever the case may be. And then say, no, 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 no. It is such a privilege just to be in your family. First of all, that's a weird kid, okay? You know, usually nowadays when you do that, you go, is that all? You know. But do you ever think about what that does to the parent? You ever think about what it does to God when he went to all that pain he went through, all that trouble he went through because he knew that we were going to need to be healed. He knew we were going to need this peace. He knew we were going to need this comfort. He knew we were going to need this miracle. That when the time comes now where he can redeem this coupon.
Yeah.
We can talk about coupons here. You talk to my wife about coupons. I'll tell you what. We've got this thing. It's been bought. It's been paid for.
Amen.
And we don't even redeem it. And really, the sad part is a lot of times we don't even know it. We don't realize that it's there. That's why he said, don't forget, don't forget, don't forget. Don't forget all my benefits. Don't forget the benefits of being a Christian, the benefits of serving God, the benefits of what Jesus did for you and for me. Wow, that's powerful stuff, amen? I don't want to forget it. Hallelujah. How are we doing? Yeah, I don't know if we're going to get through this today, but it's good nonetheless. Amen. Now, so you list these concrete benefits, and these are things you need to remind yourself of. Well, you remind yourself by, you know, writing things down or putting it on a refrigerator. That's a good. You don't forget things. You put them on a refrigerator. Yeah, that's somewhere you go very often, you know, the refrigerator. You might put it on the mirror in the bathroom, you know, when you get ready in the morning, shaving or, you know, or fixing your hair, ladies, or whatever you all do. But put it on the mirror. Put it somewhere where you won't forget it. You have to do things to remind yourself of things or you will forget them. You need to be writing these things down. You need to be writing down the fact that by his stripes you're healed, 1 Peter 2:24. You need to be writing down, pray one for another that you may be healed, James 5:16. You need to be writing down Psalms 103, verse 3, he forgives all my sins, he heals all my diseases. You need to remind yourself of that because the general bent or the world is to get you to forget what God does or get dependent on something other than God or get to looking at something other than God and get your faith in your job or your government instead of God. Thank God for jobs. Thank God for government. But our faith and our trust must be in Him.
Yes.
Amen. Amen. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Yes.
Jesus is my Lord.
Amen.
He takes care of me. He's responsible. He is my shepherd and my provider. I shall not want. The government's not my provider. Are you with me? Thank God for government. We pray for our leaders. But the Lord is my provider. Whew. I don't want to forget that, see? I don't want to forget that. Fourth verse says, who redeems your life from destruction. Woo!
Amen.
You ever been there? He can redeem you from destruction. Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, or compassions, one translation says. And I love this. He crowns us. That is our rule. That is our sign of authority. That's what causes us to reign and rule, is loving kindness, mercy, and compassion. A crown is a sign of your authority. That's what people submit to, is that sign of authority, that crown. But if I'm crowned with compassion, they can see my authority in my loving kindness, in my forgiveness. I don't have to assert myself to get people to move. And no, I need to love people to get them to do things. I need to be compassionate to people to do things. He crowns me. That's my authority. It's not my ability to just assert myself and take over. And are you with me? He crowns me with loving kindness. That's how I rule. Or as we say, that's how we roll. We love. We're compassionate. We reach out to people. You'll be amazed how many followers you'll get.
That's right.
When love is king, compassion is king. I love that. He crowns me with that. In fact, I'm getting more mature and I'm getting more authority the more I submit to that. The more I allow that to come on me. Compassion to come on me. Loving kindness to come on me. He doesn't just love me. He's not just kind to me. He crowns me with it.
Yes, that's good.
And I rule with it. Yeah. See, we often think we're just taking control and asserting ourselves. And well, things are getting out of hand. I just started hollering. I just took control. No, you just lost control.
That's right.
You didn't take control. You just lost it. We even say that. Man, he just lost it. And what, you were feeling trapped. You feel like you needed to take over.
Yeah.
No, what happened, you lost control. Love doesn't feel that way, see. Compassion doesn't feel that way. It doesn't have to assert itself. And it rules. Man, you get somebody that loves, you get somebody that's compassionate, you get someone that's kind, you want to be around that person. You want to be their friend. Hello. Because that's how God rules. Y'all getting this? This is a benefit. I don't have to be mean no more. I don't have to be angry anymore. I don't have to holler and scream anymore. Woo! This is one of the benefits. This is a benefit. I can be a loving guy. I can be a tender guy. And I'm not talking about getting in touch with your feminine side. Listen, I want to tell you something. I don't have a feminine side, okay? I am a man. Women have feminine side. Men have men sides. Now, do I need to be compassionate? Yes, I do. I do. Can I cry? You better believe it. I cry more and more the older I get. That's not feminine. That's just being a man. I don't know where we get this idea of men don't cry. They cried all throughout history. The greatest heroes in history cried. And it's kind of a last 150 years or so, we've kind of a British thing we've picked up too. You know, it's not right to cry. Men don't cry. Are you kidding? Man, I cry when I'm happy. I cry when I'm sad. I cry at the injustices of life. I do. I cry out to God. I weep. I cry at His presence. I weep at His presence. I love Jesus, and real men love Jesus. I pray, and real men pray. That's not feminine. So, you know, there was Adam and Eve, not Adam and Steve. There's men, there's women. Okay, I don't know how I got off on that one, but anyway. But compassionate, be tender. It's all right to be tender, guys. You know, the Bible says, David said, he said, your gentleness has made me great. It is God's compassion that wooed me and loved and won me over. I remember when I got saved. I remember what I thought in my mind when I thought about God. I thought, I don't want to submit to God. I don't serve anybody. All those things went through my mind. And I couldn't fight the fact that that wasn't what it was all about. He was trying to love me.
Yes.
And when that came alive to me, that He loved me, that He gave Jesus, Jesus died for my sins, that He actually cared about me, that He thought I was important, that I counted, that He cared so much about me that He wanted to send Jesus. He didn't come down here to conquer me. Are you kidding me? He didn't come down here to put me in submission. He didn't come down here. No, that was my choice to do that. Submission is not slavery. That's my choice to submit to God.
Yes.
God didn't make me submit to anything. I'm not a slave of God. I've chosen to serve under His mission. Sub, under, mission, serve. I've chose to serve His mission.
Yes.
I've submitted to Him. I'm not a slave. That's my choice.
Yes.
What He wanted to do is love me, make me the best me I could be. He saw me killing myself. He saw me ruining myself and everybody around me. And He wanted to make something. He loved me so much, He wanted to make something out of me.
Yes. Yes.
Cared about me. I couldn't fight that. That was the most powerful thing in the universe, was the love of God. Man, I just couldn't fight it. I wanted an argument. I wanted a fight, but there was no fight. And love conquered all. Love conquered me. It absolutely destroyed me. My pride and my selfishness, and it destroyed that old man, that sinner, that lost person I was, that angry. It ruined me. It just destroyed me completely. Because love is king. Love is king. And you know what it did? Still working on it, not there all. But it made a man out of me. Love made a man out of me. I started loving my wife like I should. Loving my children like I should. Loving humanity, suffering, sighing, dying humanity, being responsible to this world instead of, you know, a part of the problem. I started seeing that I should be doing some things to help this world that God made and help people and lead people to Jesus so they wouldn't go to hell. I started seeing that, you know what, I should love people. And I got back in control again, where I was completely out of control, because love is king. Man, I didn't mean to spend all that time on one verse. That just jumped at me, though. That He crowns me. That's my authority. That's your authority. That's how you rule. You want to rule your house? Love. Oh, man, I didn't want to hear that. I want to crack the whip. No, you love, and it'll rule. Okay, last verse. We'll just close this out. I'm not going to get through this. This helping you?
Yes, sir.
Who satisfies your mouth, the NIV says desires. New Living Translation says life. Who satisfies your mouth, your life, your desires with good things. Good, good things. Well, you never know. God may put something bad on you for a reason. No, He satisfies us with good things. God knows what good is, and He knows what bad is. Bad things that happen to you are not good in God's sight and just bad in yours. A lot of people say that. Well, I know it looks bad here, but if you could see it from God's perspective. Well, I think I am doing that. I'm looking at it from His perspective. This is His perspective. Jesus went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with Him. Good's healing. Sickness, bad. The thief comes to steal, kill, destroy. John 10:10. But I've come that you might have life, that you might have more abundantly. Praise God. So, He satisfies. Everybody say satisfies.
Satisfies.
I love that. Satisfies your mouth, your life, your desires, however you want to translate that. NIV says desires. New Living Translation says life. Satisfies your mouth with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles.
Amen.
Oh, I love that. Isn't that good? You know, we read over there before this message in Isaiah 40 where those that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles and run not be weary and walk and not faint. Hallelujah. So this is part of the benefits. A benefit is that you can be renewed in strength. A benefit is that you can be satisfied in life from God with good things. You're not doomed to be miserable all your life, to be depressed all your life, to go from one cloud of depression, one fit bout of depression to the next. No, no, 1,000 times no. God wants to bless you. He really does. He wants to love you. Now, you're going to have to come to Him. You're going to have to believe. You're going to have to trust Him. You're going to have to repent of your sin. But if you'll do that, hallelujah, He wants to crown you a Lord, crown you a king. See, He's the Lord of lords, and He's the King of kings. And He hath made us kings and priests unto our God. He wants to share it. He wants to share the rule. You say, oh, really? Yeah, and He rules by love. So He wants a bunch of love kings out here. Compassion kings. Compassion lords. Love lords in that sense. Mm.